Good thing we had those trumpets for that song. Where would we be? So thank you for that. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. 2 weeks ago, we started looking at this passage and didn't quite finish it. And so tonight, Lord willing, I'd like to finish looking at this section, verses 1 through 12. And Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and answering a question they have, a question that they are trying to trip him up with. But he answers them wisely. So let's begin by reading these first 12 verses. Follow along as I read Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter, and he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. All right. I want to say at the outset here that the reason why we're looking at this passage is because this was next in the book of Mark here. And my goal is to try to preach through this book. And I don't have any other reason for speaking on this passage here other than the fact that this is the next passage, and it comes after Mark chapter 9, and so this is Mark chapter 10. Jesus is talking about divorce, and divorce is an issue, obviously, for the people in Jesus' day. They had questions about it. And it's an issue for us as well. Our society is faced with that. According to an article I read in the World Book Encyclopedia from 2010, a couple years ago, it said that each year more than 1 million couples divorce in America. That's a lot of couples that have to go through that. And the same article noted that even in our history over the past century, there's been really an expansion in that figure. And the article noted that it used to be that early part of the 1900s, divorce was only granted to the innocent spouse in really serious, what it called matrimonial offenses, things like adultery or cruelty or desertion. But since the 1960s, things have changed drastically. The article noted that, you know, today in many states, you can get what's called a no-fault divorce, and that just means that somebody testifies that the marriage has failed, and a divorce can be granted. So this is an issue for us today, and it's something that we need to know about, something that Jesus speaks to. And as we began to study this passage 2 weeks ago, we saw that Jesus is presenting a method for us to deal with this question. And in the first part of the passage here, he shows us one way to deal with this question. And if you remember, that was to come with the right approach. Come with the right approach about divorce. And that means to have the right motivation, unlike the Pharisees, to simply come to God and ask, what do you want me to do? With no other motivation than to Find out what God's will is and do it. And then he pointed them to the scriptures. He pointed the Pharisees to the scriptures. He said, what does Moses say? And that was a reference to the Old Testament. What has been said about this already? What did God give through Moses? And that shows us that we need to determine to answer any questions we have about divorce or marriage or anything from the scriptures. And then Jesus gives a number of truths in the remaining passage that reveal God's will about divorce. And when we know what God's will is about divorce, the thing we need to do is to submit to that, whatever that may be. And we saw that as Jesus led them back to that scripture passage, Deuteronomy 24, we saw that one part of God's revealed will is that he discourages divorce. And even in that policy that was laid out for when a divorce happened, even in that policy, divorce was discouraged. And then we also saw another truth about divorce, and that is that divorce damages God's design for permanent unity in marriage. And with Jesus' reference back to the creation account, he shows us that, hey, this is how God designed marriage to be. God created marriage, and he designed it for unity. And he ends with that statement, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder or separate. And then we come to verses 10 through 12, and I'd like to look at those verses here. I think we see another truth that is presented about divorce in those verses. And I think that truth is that divorce can lead to further sin. Divorce can lead to further sin. We find the disciples ask Jesus again about this matter in verse 10, and then in verses 11 and 12, Jesus answers them. And just to summarize what he says, divorce can lead to further sin. But let's look at those verses a little more closely. Look at verse 11. He says, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. So how can divorce lead to further sin? Well, it can lead to further sin in the case of remarriage. It can. And it can lead to further sin against the other spouse. Jesus presents a situation here where a man puts away or divorces his wife and he marries another. He says that that spouse commits adultery against his wife when that happens. And then reading on in verse 12, it also can create further sin when the person who instigates the divorce and remarriage. Look at verse 12. If a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So not only can another spouse be led into sin by that divorce and remarriage, but the person who divorces and remarries also commits that sin. And then when we take these two verses together, we see that divorce and remarriage can lead to further sin by either spouse. Notice that in verse 11, Jesus presents the man, the husband, as being at fault primarily. But then in verse 12, he also notes that the woman can also be at fault. The wife can be at fault. And you say, well, that's kind of obvious for us. Of course, it could be the husband or the wife who's at fault. But, you know, in some cultures, it could be accepted for the man to put away his wife. And it doesn't matter what the wife thinks or what really happened. The man always has the right. And that's how it is in some cultures. And it's also good for us to remember that, you know, something's happened in someone's marriage. Oh, well, it's the wife, you know, can't live with him, can't live without him. But that's not how it is. Okay, it can be either the husband or the wife that can be led into further sin, and Jesus presents both of those scenarios there. So Jesus presents that truth about divorce, and he does that as a warning, as a deterrent to divorce. He's not trying to encourage people to divorce. He's saying, listen, if you divorce and you remarry, there's this possibility of further sin involved. Now, we could stop right here and go on to the next passage. And frankly, I would rather do that. But I think this is an issue that it's good for us to consider some other parallel passages. And so what I'd like for us to do is look at four additional parallel passages that shed some light on this issue. So just four other passages that give some additional teaching. And the first passage I'd like you to turn to is Luke chapter 16. So let's go to Luke chapter 16. Jesus is not actually teaching on marriage as he is in Mark chapter 10, here in Luke chapter 16. He's giving this verse, verse 18, as an example of his teaching on another subject. But this is a parallel passage to the verses that we just have read. And basically, there's the same teaching here, but there's another additional point that we need to see. And let me just say also that this is a complex issue, and it's an issue about which even good Bible-believing Christians disagree. And so as I try to explain these passages, you may disagree with me, and that's okay. But what I think is important for us to do is at least consider these other parallel passages when we think about this question. I think it's good to at least we know what these other passages say when we think about this. So Luke chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery." And so that's basically what we already have read in Mark chapter 10. Then he goes on to say, "And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." So the additional point here is that divorce can lead to further sin when a person marries someone who is divorced. That's what I take away from that passage. Just another warning about divorce that Jesus gives, Luke chapter 16, verse 18. It can lead to further sin in that scenario. Okay, that's one passage. Let's turn back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches regarding divorce here, again, verses 31 and 32. As he does throughout that passage, he states what the law says, and then he gives an application, not denying what the law says, but he's going internal with it. He's addressing the heart. And he does that with divorce as well and marriage. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." That's that passage that we looked at last time, Deuteronomy 24. "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Now, we have the similar teaching to what we've already looked at in Mark and Luke. And there is an additional point here, and that is that divorce can lead a spouse to be, and I'm phrasing it this way, more susceptible to adultery. Divorce can lead a spouse to be more susceptible to adultery. Notice it says, "Whosoever," verse 32, "whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery." Now, at first, it sounds like that saying that divorce, anyone who's divorced commits adultery. And I can see how some would come to that conclusion. But I'm not sure that divorce is adultery. And one reason for that is because of the word to commit adultery there. It's not so obvious to us in the English text, but in the text of the Greek text there, the subject of that word is it's not the woman. Okay, that's a passive verb. It's a passive verbal form anyway. So something else is committing that action. It could be translated to suffer adultery. He causes her to suffer adultery. Okay, and I think that that would occur upon a remarriage. If we compare that with other scriptures. So, some others may disagree with me, and I understand that. But I think divorce, that divorce can lead a spouse to be more susceptible to adultery if she were to remarry. So, if we take those scriptures together so far, Jesus is giving a warning here about divorce. He's saying divorce can lead to further sin upon remarriage. A number of different ways that it can. Now, another truth about divorce that I think we see from the scriptures is that divorce does not always lead to further sin. Divorce does not always lead to further sin. And we see a clue about that here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, where it says, saving for the cause of fornication. Now, that same phrase is repeated in another passage that I'd like you to turn to, and that's Matthew chapter 19. So, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Here in Matthew chapter 19, we have the same situation that we have read in Mark chapter 10. This is the same scenario where the Pharisees come and they ask Jesus this question and he responds to them. Same thing here. A little bit different response. Some additional detail that we have here in Matthew chapter 19. Let's look down at verse 9. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now, we've already discussed many of those truths in that verse. Divorce can lead to further sin. We can see that truth in those verses. But the point I'd like us to see here is that divorce does not always lead to further sin. And I think we see a situation when it does not. And in verse 9, we have an exception here. It says, except it be for fornication. Now, for fornication, the word fornication is a general word that refers to an illicit physical relationship. And it can refer to many different aspects of that. And I would take that to be, in this context, Jesus is talking about marriage. He's talking about husbands and wives. Again, this is the same context as in Mark chapter 10. And if you have an illegitimate physical relationship within a marriage, that's adultery. Seems like that's adultery. And so I would take that to be adultery. So when does divorce not always lead to further sin? In the case of adultery, when a marriage is disrupted by adultery. Now, does that apply just to divorce, or does that apply to remarriage as well? Is remarriage permissible when there's a divorce? I would say, looking at this passage, that it does. Both divorce and remarriage would be permissible. And one, you know, a reason why it seems to me that that is what the passage is saying is because the person, the subject of this verse is the person who both puts away his wife and marries another. That person commits adultery. That's the main word there. Committeth adultery. Who is that person that committeth adultery? It's the person that both puts away his wife and marries another. So, if there's an exception there, it seems that it would apply both to putting away and to remarriage. For example, here's a parallel example. You have an ambulance driver, okay? And he's driving along the freeway, and maybe a rule could be stated like this. Whoever drives in the shoulder lane, except an ambulance driver on call, and exceeds the speed limit, is breaking the law. Okay, so whoever does that, drives in the shoulder lane, and exceeds the speed limit on a freeway, is breaking the law. Now, the exception is an ambulance driver on call. Now, he's not just permitted to drive in the shoulder lane. That exception also permits him to drive in the shoulder lane and to exceed the speed limit. And so, you know, a parallel example, I think, shows that both divorce and remarriage would be permissible. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. You just read in Mark chapter 10, and Jesus said that whoever divorces and remarries another commits adultery. I mean, it's very clear in Mark chapter 10, isn't it? No exceptions, right? Well, I think that the exception is to be understood in Mark chapter 10. And we see that done in other passages of Scripture. For example, in Mark 8:12 and Matthew 12:39, we see that as well. There's more detail in Matthew, and that's not given in Mark, but yet we understand that it's in Mark. See, if we pit Mark against Matthew, we're saying that Mark is right, and Matthew somehow got it wrong, and we can't do that. We can't deny the accuracy of Matthew. We have to understand the details combined together in those gospel accounts. And that's done elsewhere with other stories. Now, if there is a case where there is adultery in a marriage, I don't think we have to understand that a divorce must take place. Divorce does not have to happen, especially when a guilty spouse is repentant. And that would be extremely hard to offer forgiveness to a repentant spouse who has done that. But by God's grace, that's possible. Only by God's grace. So it does not have to happen, but there is an exception, I think Jesus is teaching here. So divorce does not always lead to further sin in the case of fornication. Now let's turn to one last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is teaching regarding marriage. And teaches a number of different principles here, but I'd like us to begin in verse 10. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, 10. It says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." think what Paul's doing there in that verse is he is referencing the verses that we have just considered, where the Lord Jesus Christ, has taught about marriage. And he's saying, the Lord commands, let not the wife depart from her husband. It's not just Paul saying this, it's the Lord saying this. But look at verse 11. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. I think we see here another situation in which divorce does not always lead to further sin. Notice in verse 11 that Paul presents a scenario in which a wife would depart from her husband. He says, but and if she depart. He acknowledges that there may be a situation in which, perhaps we could say, divorce would be the lesser of two evils. Perhaps that's a situation in which a wife is in danger, or a wife and her children are in danger by whatever her husband is doing. And Paul acknowledges, you know, okay, but and if she divorce, here are her options. Remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And so I think we could say that divorce does not always lead to further sin in some situations like that. But she has those two options, be reconciled to her husband or remain unmarried. Now, Paul goes on to address another situation in which there is a couple where one spouse is a believer and another spouse is not a believer. What are people to do in that situation? The wife got saved. They weren't saved when they got married, but the wife got saved. What should she do now? What does Paul say? Look at verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, she be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, go ahead and stay married. If you have a spouse that's unbelieving, don't seek to depart. And then in verse 15, Paul addresses another situation, a related situation. Look at verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. So here's the situation where there's an unbeliever who leaves. The other spouse is a believer, but the unbeliever leaves. He deserts his wife. And based on Paul's comments here, it seems like we have another situation in which divorce would not always lead to further sin. And that's a case where there is desertion by an unbelieving spouse. Notice in verse 15 again, it says, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. So when an unbelieving spouse leaves, Christian spouse is not under bondage. And I would take that to mean that the divorce would not lead to further sin. And if we compare that phrase, not under bondage, to how it's used throughout the chapter, especially verse 39, it seems that remarriage may also be permissible in that case when there is desertion by an unbelieving spouse. So, I think it's good for us to take all those passages together, those five passages, including Mark, when we think about this issue. Jesus warns that divorce can lead to further sin in the case of remarriage. If it's for any other reason besides these exceptions, it can lead to further sin. And so he presents that as a warning against divorce. But also, it seems that divorce does not always lead to further sin in those situations. So, when we come to this question of divorce, how do we deal with it? Well, first of all, we need to come with the right approach. We need to make sure our motivation is right. We address the question from Scripture, and we submit to God's will. Maybe you're wondering why Jesus seems to care so much about this issue. Why does he spend so much time, and when we look at all these passages together, why is it that he addresses this? Why is this such a big deal to Jesus? Why does God present us with this information? I think perhaps one reason is that Jesus is teaching us that our relationship with God is expressed in our relationships with others. And the most important relationship, earthly relationship that we have is with our spouse. And sometimes we can think that, we have our relationship with God over here, and we do that, and we come over here, and we have our relationship with our family and with our spouse, and we keep the two separate. And sometimes maybe we think of it that way, but that's not how God views it. Our interaction and our relationships with others, especially our relationship with our spouse, demonstrates how we are obeying God, how we are serving God. And we serve, certainly, Jesus' teaching shows us that we serve Him, we serve Christ, as we strengthen our marriage. Now, maybe say, well, what about somebody who has already messed up? They are already on the other side of those scenarios, and they've already, been through that, and, went contrary to God's will in that situation. What about them? What should they do? Well, they should do the same thing that anyone who has gone against God's will should do, and that is to seek forgiveness from God. To confess your sin to God and to ask Him to forgive you. Will God forgive a sin like that? Absolutely. He will forgive any sin. You bring it to the Lord and confess it, and He offers forgiveness, even for this situation. And He does that on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross, is because there are people in this world who have sinned against God in this area and in other areas. And through His death on the cross, He took the punishment that we all deserve. And through that act, He offers that forgiveness to you and to me. And that's what we remember as we come to the Lord's table tonight, our Lord's death on the cross for us. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We thank You most of all for Jesus Christ and for what He has done for us on the cross. We thank You that we can have forgiveness. We pray that You would give us grace to serve You, and even in our marriages, even in our relationships with others, we pray that we would be obedient to You. We ask for the grace that we need to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to hymn number 200.